Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, direct from the Hague Beach, transmitting for the CBS Cybernetic Broadcasting System, it's ESRO Unicorn Radio, with your host, Makos.
Welcome to ESRO Unicorn Radio number 14. Today, we have a DX7 special with the history of the DX7. If you don't know, DX7 is a synthesizer from Yamaha. Gonna play some music also, of course. And, first up is a track called Via Contact from Analogous Doom. We'll be right back. You're listening to a track called Weather Report from the artist Renkas or something. It's an extremely nice, deep, melancholic track. Anyway, it's time for uncovering the mysteries of the synthesizer. This week it's the DX7 from Yamaha.
Uncovering synthesizer mysteries.
You're listening to the sounds of a Yamaha DX7 synthesizer. This week's special guest synthesizer here on the Astro Unicorn show. It is 1983 when the Japanese Yamaha company releases the DX7. And it will not only become the first successful digital synthesizer, but also the most sold synthesizer in history yet. Using a frequency modulation synthesis, it was something completely fresh at the time, the 80s. Until then, most popular synthesizers used a subtractive analog synthesis, which was easy to program and sounded funky and warm. This thing came on the market and it sounded completely different, like cold digital, but above all futuristic. And at that time people were really impressed with that, mostly I think because it could make a pretty good realistic piano sound, trumpet sounds and xylophone sounds. The interface was also kind of new. It uses dip touch buttons instead of turning knobs, and that made programming very difficult. People are lazy and they just could select a preset and play it. So for most people, it's more of a home keyboard, I guess, than a real synthesizer. Only a few people really could program the thing. That's kind of sad because it's really a deep synthesizer that can make amazing sounds that really no other synth can make, especially for ambient music. If you want a little bit exotic sounds, pads and stuff, though most people will associate it with the 80s presets, basses of Stock Aitken and Waterman, like Rick Astley and Kylie Minogue. I've got a DX7 right in front of me, playing some, going through the presets now. As you can hear, this is a typical ambient Aphex Twin sound. Really haunting and scary. And this is a kind of also nasty sound with lots of feedback. This is a typical DX7 bass sound. Also a typical FM bass sound again, like Chicago style. Like a hollow square wave bass. More of a lead synthesizer sound now. Let me try to put the monophonic mode on. Because the DX7 also has portamento monophonic mode. Gotta check it out where it is. Some funky modulation. Preset. Some weird organ monosynth or something. This is a really nice sound, almost like a ARP Crow soloist or something. As you can hear, it's now being played monophonically with some portamento. Portamento. Reminds me a bit of the Suspiria soundtrack. Now put this sound in polyphonic mode again. Some really nice brass strings. As you can hear, the DX7 can sound pretty warm even though it's digital. It's kind of a own distinctive sound. The DX7 uses, like I said before, frequency modulation FM synthesis. It's kind of difficult to explain what it really is, but basically it uses sine waves that modulate each other. Now you will have a carrier wave and a modulation wave, some shit like that. These are called operators. In the DX7 you will have 6 of those, and you also have algorithms, and you got 32 of those, and you can select any one of those, and they will determine how those operators interact with each other. It's kind of theoretical to talk about it. The thing is, you just gotta sit behind it and learn what the knobs do and how it changes the sound. That's, I think, the best thing to learn to program it. Because all the theoretically FM shit is that will bore you to death. And skipping through some of the sounds in this DX7. You can hear the LFO in action right now. Change the LFO wave to sine now. Square again. Again, Chicago style hollow square bass sound. It's also a velocity sensitive DX, and you can make filter-like effects. Sound, you can always use it as a master keyboard. So it's very expressive somehow. Later in the show, I will tell you a little bit more about the fascinating history of this synthesizer, how it was invented and stuff like that. And now we're gonna play some music again. Starting with a track that uses the DX7 together with the 808 drum machine. It's Franz Falkenhaus and Thursday Telephases.
carefully, Mr. Crusoe. I think you may already have some idea of the lengths to which I'm prepared to go when I want something. Unless you recover my property in double-quick time, you'll discover just how far that can be.
called Revenge of the Black Regent. Very swashbuckler, 1789 style. The Black Regent. Next up is a track from Kompleksky, from Erki, from Finland. Erki and Mike Knott. It's called Sarah Payne. One of their big hits. You might want to check out the video of this track, which is really nice. You can check it out on YouTube. Just type in Kompleksky. Anyway, enjoy this very nice track.
nine storms lashing him rotten, a looted wreath crowning his tangled hair. Every moment of his youth, apart from its dream, was forgotten. Gone the roof overhead, but the sky was always there. Oh, you who were flung out alike from heaven and from Hades, you murderers who've been so bitterly repaid. Why did you part from the mothers who nursed you as babies? It was peaceful, and you slept, and there you stayed. Still he explores and rakes the absent green oceans, though his mother has given him up for lost. Grinning and cursing with a few tears of contrition, always in search of that land where life seems best. Loafing through hells and flogged through paradises, calm and grinning with a vanishing face. At times he still dreams of a small field he recognizes, with the blue sky overhead and nothing else.
Electronic music albums, in my opinion. It's called The Golden Hour of the Future, and it was back when Eddie Newton of Clock DFA was still in the Human League. Really moody, dark electronics. Next up is a track called Batavia, from the soundtrack of Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. from the legendary Ryuichi Sakamoto. Sakamoto also, together with David Bowie, also did some stuff for the soundtrack. And also in the movie is Pete Takeshi, the famous Japanese director and actor. The movie is about the Japanese invasion in the Second World War. They invade Indonesia, and then David Bowie is an English or Australian army officer. He's captured, and then he befriends kind of this Japanese sadistic officer who's played by Sakamoto. Anyways.
History of the DX7 synthesizer.
It's time now for the second part of the DX7 special. This time I'm gonna take a look at the fascinating history. It all began at Stanford University in Palo Alto, a quiet and laid-back town in the San Francisco Bay Area. Somewhere in the 1960s, Stanford University's electronic music teacher John Chowning began experimenting with sine waves, vibrations, and how they could interact with each other. Modulate one sine wave with a faster moving sine wave and found out that it could produce rich and complex sounds. FM synthesis was born, but it would still be a long road to the DX7. Almost 15 years.
Almost 15 years.
To be precise. The Stanford University itself wasn't too keen on Chowning's experiments. They rather saw him writing contemporary experimental compositions than wasting his time with this strange FM synthesis stuff. Chowning tried to sell his FM synthesis idea to a number of American organ manufacturers. At that time, organs were the big business, better than synthesizers. But he didn't have any success trying to sell it. Even with the aid of a digital synthesis guru, Max Matthews, big or small organ manufacturers such as Hammond and Wurlitzer were not even slightly interested. Probably they didn't even understand the principles. It was too vague for them or something. But Chowning kept on going, and as a last resort, kind of, he approached a Japanese company called Yamaha, who had a range of organs called the Electone organ series. And Yamaha sent out a young engineer called Mr. Ichimura to the Stanford University to check this FM synthesis thing out. And it was a smart young man, and he immediately understood the principles of this FM synthesizer. Synthesis, there wasn't any synthesizer yet. He also understood that it could become something big. He reported back to the Yamaha headquarters, who started to get curious about Ichimura's excitement. So they decided to buy the license for FM synthesis from Chowning, so they could research and develop it into a product for the public. And then in 1973, the first ever prototype of a synthesizer that used FM was built. It was also the very first old digital synthesizer. It was called the MAD, or M-A-D. It's a monophonic synthesizer, and it was the product of two young engineers called Hirayakato and Endos, and it was supervised by a certain Dr. Mochida. Yamaha kept on putting more money in the research, and then 2 years later, in 1975, the first polyphonic version of the MAD was designed. So you could play more than one note at a time. That was a big breakthrough in the FM synthesis research. Meanwhile, back at the Stanford University, things were taking a turn for the bad, because the university had become tired of Chowning's recluseness and lack of compositions. Apparently he wasn't that good of a teacher, so they fired him. Then things would get become a little bit embarrassing for the Stanford University, because a few years later, Yamaha sent out a big delegation from Japan with some papers asking to further license this FM synthesis idea. And Chowning was nowhere to be found, because he moved to Europe after he was fired. Eventually, the university found him back. He was offered a research post, because now he was important, because all these people came looking for him. And Chowning took the position, and so he was back at the university. There were now more than keen enough to let him do his thing. And in 1979, he even got a professor title. Developing the FM synthesis in their laboratories. Actually, they were doing research on two digital synthesis methods in the 70s. They weren't quite sure which one to go with yet. The other one was a form of additive synthesis, but in the end it proved to be too expensive to produce it into an affordable synthesizer for the public, so Yamaha chose FM synthesis to go with it. In 1981, Yamaha launched the very first FM synth for the public on the market. It was called the GS1. Though it created quite a stir, it was only a market tester. It was like a scouting on a scouting mission for its bigger sibling that would hit the market 2 years later. And so it was in 1983 that all hell broke loose when the DX7 was launched. Yamaha couldn't produce enough of them, and they sold like hotcakes. In fact, it still remains the biggest selling synthesizer ever. It sold approximately 180,000 pieces, numbers, how you say it. But all this was very far removed from John Chowning, who was doing his thing in the Stanford University, and he wasn't involved with the development of this synthesizer. And, in fact, he saw and heard his very first DX7 synthesizer in a bar in Palo Alto. Chowning remembers the occasion vividly. He said, my wife and I had been out to see a movie, and we stopped off at a local bar for a nightcap. I knew the keyboard player in the bar, and when he saw me, he waved me over excitedly to come and see this incredible new instrument he had sitting on top of his piano. Then Chowning says that he was astonished. It was an awesome moment. He had no idea that people had been waiting in line to buy DX7s. And that, dear listeners, was the fascinating history of the Yamaha DX7 synthesizer. They produced it until 1987, and then they had a follow-up with the DX7 Mark II. But anyways, let's play some music again for the people. The next track is Rankas with a track called Where is the Ocean? You're listening to Orc Electronique with a track called House the Box, which apparently also uses a DX7. I guess it's the meow meow sound. Anyway, this was Astro Unicorn 14. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week. Play one more track, Tony Steam from Giorgio Moroder.